Hey guys, if you know me, you know I love to travel and you know I love to save money. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships. How to maximize points for real savings, not just free bottled water. How to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use, and so much more. They're doing great work over there. Check it out. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Justin Walter. And before we get to Justin, I have a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com, and there you'll find some stories that I've written, some stories that some of the guests have written. You'll find links to our social media, which is the big one, is Instagram. Come on now, let's get those numbers up on Instagram. That's like the main focus. We also have a Facebook page as well. Follow us, subscribe, do what you got to do. And speaking of subscribing, why not subscribe to us on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on? Many of you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. So subscribe and maybe give us a good rating because that helps more people find us. It boosts our presence and that's a cool thing for you to do. And if you do that, I'd appreciate it. If you think you'd be right for the show as a guest, or maybe you know somebody, or maybe you just want to write me and ask me some travel questions, or maybe just tell me I'm awesome, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Justin Walter was a guest on our show back in May of 2016. A fresh-faced young lad back then. He was in his earlier days of being a travel blogger or influencer, if you will. If you go back and listen to it, he's a native of Chicago, just like me. Huge, massive fan of the show Survivor, which inspired him to really travel around the world. Go back, listen to that episode. He talks about it a lot. But since his last visit, so much has happened. He has rebranded his website. You can find him at yourbucketlistguide.com and your bucket list guide on Instagram and all his socials. If you go there, you'll notice he has been traveling a ton. He's good friends with our guest from a few weeks ago, Kinga Phillips, who's a host on Discovery Shark Week and many other things. The two of them travel a lot together. They're two peas in a pod, those two. But Justin has branched out on his own. He appears often on television programs as a travel expert and guide. And he's always been about encouraging people to take their dream trips when they can. If you can do it, make it happen. Don't wait. And for his 40th birthday last year, he went on a massive 6-month trip around the world to do 40 new experiences for his 40th birthday. And we talk about that a bit. Justin is a guy who loves travel. His enthusiasm is infectious. And if you want to see all the places he's been, or you want to reach out to him for advice, to help plan a trip, or to go on one of the ones he guides, go to yourbucketlistguide.com and check out what he does. Anyway, it was good to see him and good to catch up. Here's my talk with Justin Walter. Justin Walter, welcome again. It's been 9 years, May of 2016, since you were last on the show. And so much has happened. You are now your bucket list guide. How did this transition go from around the world with Justin to your bucket list guide?
Well, first of all, I can't believe it's been 9 years.
I know.
Time just goes so fast.
We're still alive.
Oh, my God.
We're still here.
We're still alive. We survived a lot of things from 2016 to 2025.
Yeah.
And here we are talking travel still, which I think is a good sign,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's always a great running into you at places, and it's always a pleasant surprise. And the last time I think I saw you was probably we did that Germany thing downtown L.A.
Oh my gosh. One of our, yes, our local LA chapter of travel networking events, which I love and which Kelly Farrow and I are trying to maybe revisit and bring back to life because we do miss the community we had doing all those events. Which
yeah,
was great,
I do miss that too. Yeah, it's a, and COVID really put a clamp down on a lot of that stuff. You know?
Yeah, so I guess since last time we spoke, last year I rebranded and I've changed my kind of brand to Your Bucket List Guide. And part of the inspiration for doing that was last year I was 39 years old. I'm about to turn, I was 39 and I turned 40.
Oh, happy birthday. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm turning 41 this week.
Wow.
So you're catching me in the last few days of my 40th year, which is just crazy. But as I, you know, looked ahead to 40 and looked ahead to longevity and everything, and I did, which we'll probably talk about, a trip around the world last year, kind of a six-month trip around the world for my 40th birthday. And before that trip, I rebranded as Your Bucket List Guide because I wanted to create more of a travel brand that was beyond just me around the world with Justin and just my specific travels. So the idea of Your Bucket List Guide is it's kind of a multi-tiered brand plan that I have moving forward. And first kind of just really highlighting and showcasing bucket list experience and the idea that we don't and shouldn't wait until quote unquote retirement, until the end era of our lives to live the life we want to live and to do the travel experiences we want to have. And I think that's one thing in the last, if I look at the last 20 years of my life, I really started traveling internationally at 21 years old. And I have been checking off bucket list experiences for the last 20 years. And I'm so grateful and thankful that I've been able to do that and made that choice to do it in my younger years versus waiting until my 60s, 70s, 80s, even if I don't even know if I'll get to those ages. So I really want to use my brand, not only for travel, but to, you know, promote this idea that like live the life you want to live now.
I will. It's great advice. And we've said that many, many times on this show because I tell people, especially younger people, that you simply don't know in terms of not just your health, whether you have the time to do it, whether you have the money to do it later, the health, you know. I mean, I've taken these trips, you know, going to Machu Picchu and hiking it as a younger person or a fit person is a completely different experience than if you're old and can't really, you know, you get a bad knee. And you can't walk up to those many levels. And, you know, I would see busloads of old people just going on, just walking to off the bus, looking at, you know, one little platform and then going back in the bus. And I was like, well, that's not, you're not seeing the whole the whole thing here.
Exactly.
And also politically and globally, you don't know in terms of safety. You know, I'm older than you. And the first time I left was 89 out of college. You know what, after college, which is giving away my age, but...
Wait, how old? You look good,
thank you,
buddy. I didn't realize you were 65.
Oh, stop it. How dare you? How dare you?
Just kidding.
But, you know, I tell people that I did the whole backpacking for 6 weeks out of, you know, around with the Ural Pass around Europe. And there was two Germanys. There was a Czechoslovakia, a Soviet Union, a Yugoslavia, and a couple years later, none of those places existed. And you just don't know. I had a bucket list trip planned, and this is the first time I'm revealing this on the show because I've been talking about it for a year now, is that I'm trying to do the Everest Base Camp.
Amazing.
And then we invaded Iran. And my free airline miles flight went through Qatar on Qatar Airways, which was a partner of American, where all my miles were. And I had to rethink. They were shutting airspace around. And I was like, and then my girlfriend got nervous about it. And I went, you know what? But now, reveal, I'm doing a new bucket list guide. And as a diver, you would appreciate this.
What are you doing?
I switched for the same amount of miles to Palau.
Okay. Oh my gosh. The audios are going to spike right there.
And you've been.
Oh
right?
My gosh. Amazing.
Have you been?
I have not been to Palau, but Palau is where they filmed season, I believe, 9 of Survivor.
Yeah.
And we, you know, I was a huge Survivor fan, especially from seasons 1 to 40. And They're filming season 50 right now, which is just insane. Incredible. Yeah, but Palau is on my list, and everyone who I know that's gone there says it is just incredible and beautiful. So I'm excited.
So I traded one bucket list. It was literally on my list. I have the list on my my bulletin board, and right at like two spots above Nepal is Palau. So that is
when do you go? When do you go to Palau?
I'm looking at the first 2 weeks of October.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, I cannot wait to hear about
it. And for people.
But that's you, or I was going to say that you've had Kinga on your show.
Just recently.
You know,
and your name came up.
Just recently.
Course.
Yeah. Well, and I want to, Kinga and I have traveled a lot together for work. And we've had such incredible work experiences getting to explore this world. And what we realized, and this is bringing it back to what we were just talking about, is a lot of these places, we are the youngest people. And it's all just people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s doing stuff. And we're just like, we don't want to be those people who are waiting until that phase of life to travel and experience the world. So that's kind of bringing it back to this whole idea of this idea of a bucket list. It's not an old, archaic, and old person's thing. It should be something that we currently live, no matter what age we are, within the means that we have.
Well, that's one of the reasons I was pushing it. And you know, Nepal's been on that list forever for me. And, you know, you see a window, you know, talking about health and everything. I had recently had a friend pass away, you know, cancer. Mm. I've had friends who've gotten like ALS diagnosis, you know, MS.
So sorry.
Or whatever, you know, or you just got bad knees, you know, and I was like, I got to get there while my knees still work. And, you know, you know, going to high of elevation and doing hikes is not for the squeamish, and you got to be prepared, you know. So while I'm trying to do the physical things while I can still do physical things. And also I come from my family. My dad thought he could wait, you know, to travel his whole life. And then his body kind of gave out, and he had died at 67. So you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
You just don't know.
And
even I can share for my dad. My dad, he retired at, I believe, like 65. And I remember having a conversation with him. I've taken him on some recent trips in his 70s now. And I remember saying, you know, asking him about his goals of what he envisioned his retirement to be like. And he said to me candidly and honestly, he said, you know what, Justin, I imagine that your mom and I would be traveling the world together, but your mom doesn't want to leave the country anymore. So here he was working, thinking that my mom was going to be his travel partner into his 70s and 80s, and she doesn't want to leave the United States and travel anymore. So then I'm like, well, Dad, take me.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'll do it with you.
Yeah. And just the flying.
But like you said, you just never know. You never know.
When you first decide to do the 6-month trip, 40 countries in 40 days. You had done the rebranding of your
40 destinations. 40. Because I thought countries, and then I was like, that will kill me.
Yeah, right. when you're planning this out, was the plan, was it more of a personal thing, or did you say, well, this is going to be good for, I hate the term, but your brand?
No,
Did you decide, and how much did you line up beforehand? And did you work with tourism boards and things like that?
Yes. So I do work in the travel industry professionally, obviously, you know, in multiple levels. I go on TV as a TV travel expert, and then I do social media content creation work for brands and tourism boards, and, you know, going on podcasts and things like that. So travel is obviously a part of my business. And so going into the trip, anytime I travel, if we take a step before the trip, anytime I travel, it can be turned into business, which is a blessing and a curse. You know, there are times where I'm like, I really do need to just travel for me and for not turning it into work. Because I love travel, and I don't ever want to lose the beauty and the magic of travel because it becomes too much work. But then also people might be listening thinking, oh my God, you get to travel for work.
Oh,
you cannot complain about that, which I'm not. I'm so grateful that I get to travel as a part of my career and work. So going into this 40 for 40 bucket list trip around the world, I wanted to do a hybrid trip. I wanted to make it both destinations and locations I personally wanted to go to, but then also spots and tours and boards and brands that I could team up with along the way to also work with them. So the trip was a hybrid trip of work, and it was a hybrid trip of personal. And gosh, there's so many moments on the trip where I teamed up with, you know, some cruises. I kicked off the trip at the beginning of the trip. I did a princess cruise. I've been a partner with them for 2 years. I did a trip with Kinga and her mom and my dad. And then they brought us back again for a Mediterranean cruise. That was at the beginning of my trip last year. So that was work. But that is a work that I'm so grateful that I was able to bring my dad in his 70s on a Mediterranean cruise for work. You know, so it was like, I'm so grateful about that. And then Kinga and I had an opportunity piggybacking off of that. We went on another cruise in Tahiti, in the remote islands of Tahiti, called Aranui Cruises. And this was an opportunity that had been presented to us a couple years before. And you want to hear a flight story. We were going to the airport, and this is a couple years before, and our flight to Tahiti got canceled, and then we missed the boat.
Yeah.
So then that was a trip where, you know, as I was like, I'm going to do the trip around the world, I revisited and said, Kingo, what about that Aranui cruise that we didn't get to do? Should we check and see if they'd be interested in working with us again? So then again, we kind of teamed up with them and did social media content and all that. And what was also really fun is I love getting to go on TV and talking about my travels. And I get to do that on various TV outlets. And it was fun to get to share my trip around the world along the way on various TV outlets, just kind of sharing where in the world is Justin and what bucket list adventures are you doing now? So it was work, but it was pleasure and personal. And I got to go to a bunch of destinations and do a lot of things that have been on my personal bucket list for a while that I do feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that turning 40 years old, I'm already checking off some of these experiences that I thought I was going to wait till later in life to do, but I did it now.
Well, of those on your list, which ones proved to be the most elusive and the hardest to make happen? And did any of the, and which ones exceeded your expectations? And did any kind of like not meet your expectations?
I love it. Okay. Okay. I'm going to be totally honest with all this.
Okay.
Right? Okay. What stands out to me as like the top spots on my 40 destinations, and when I think of the trip as a whole, I had the most incredible experience in the Galapagos Islands. Have you been to the Galapagos Islands?
That's another one on the list. It's on there. Have not been.
It is a slice of this planet that is unlike anywhere else on this planet. And for me, it tapped into so many things of, I love islands and I love like tropical and I love kind of that like terrain first and foremost. The islands there are just stunning. They are incredible. They are beautiful. But what makes them so remarkable is the wildlife and the interaction with wildlife. It is like doing think of an African safari, but in water, on boat, and you're literally inches from wildlife and interacting with wildlife in a way that you cannot and don't do in other parts of this planet. I felt like I was sucked into a National Geographic or a Discovery Channel documentary. And it was like every day I took my buddy Mike from college with me. We were every day in awe of experiences and moments that we just didn't even imagine possible. Some of those included, you know, multiple times we swam with sea lions. And what was so crazy is they came up and swam up to us. And then I started mimicking their movements and playing like them. And then they were playing in the water with me as if I was a sea lion. And it was wild to do that. There was a moment where on the boat we were on, we were sitting in a hot tub on this boat and there was an active volcano going off behind us. So we're like having beers in a hot tub and there's literally an active volcano going on behind us. The wildlife, survival of the fittest and Darwinism and, you know, Charles Darwin, obviously the theory of evolution, you get to actually firsthand with your hands, with your eyes, experience that where these creatures, these animals, the wildlife, you would be walking on land and have iguanas just walking past you. And it's just like, there's animals you'd never, like blue-footed boobies, these birds that have these bright baby blue webbed feet. And you get like feet from them. Well, and it was just moment after moment of wildlife experiences that I was mind blown.
The one thing about the Galapagos, and this proves to be the hardest stumbling block for people, it's pricey. Getting there,
I
think there's only a limited amount of permits and amount of boats that they allow, which is how it stays, clean, basically.
For sure.
How, if you had to recommend it to people, other than using you as your bucket list guy,
do you
set up a cruise beforehand or work?
Yeah, so I would say that how I'd recommend it is look into the different boating options and try and get on one of the boats that go to multiple islands. I think that's, you can kind of stay at one of the main islands and then do day trips from the island. But if you're able to find like a boating option that fits your price range, whatever that might be, whether it's a medium tier, a higher tier, or a lower budget friendlier option, I would definitely recommend living and doing the boat experience, because then you're going to cover the most ground, be able to go to the most number of islands, and really have that kind of water experience. The boat I was on was called Eco Ventura, and it's a more of a higher scale boat. And I was fortunate enough to team up with them and to do social media content and work with them and kind of do that experience. But it was incredible to do the boat experience, because what they did and how they had set up their adventure, which I'm sure some cruises do this as well. I know some cruises go throughout the Galapagos, which is going to be a more price friendly option versus a 20-person live aboard or kind of boat experience. But they had morning, we had a water and a land adventure, and then we had lunch, and then we had a water and land adventure. So every day we were doing water and land adventures twice a day. And it was, again, just constantly interacting with wildlife and beautiful nature in a way that does not exist in anywhere else on this planet.
Was there one that you on your list that you didn't get to do, that you were really bummed out that it didn't happen?
Oh my gosh. No, honestly,
you got it all.
Everything that I got it all there. And it was like, I probably wouldn't ever want to go back, because nothing will compare. And it was just, you know what it was? It was that feeling of just like that kid-like awe and wonder again, every day, just having that experience of whether it was with tortoises or sharks or iguanas or marine iguanas swimming in the water, seeing hundreds of them on the land, flamingos and birds, and it was incredible. So I highly recommend the Galapagos.
What about the non-nature stuff? I know you chugged beer at Oktoberfest, right?
That I did previously.
Okay.
So that was one of the stops. I actually spent my 40th birthday at, it was called the Killani. I got to find out the spelling. I got to look it up. I'm butchering the spelling. But there's a summer local beer festival in a town called Würzburg in Germany. That is, Oktoberfest happens in September in Munich, and it's very like large scale. A lot of tourists go to that.
Yeah, I've been to that.
You've been to that one, right?
Yeah.
So imagine that, but on a local level in an adorable storybook town called Würzburg. And it's in July. So it's actually happening right now. A year ago, I turned 40 at this beer festival. And it, I believe, was only one beer tent. But it had all the amusement park rides. And what was so incredible was, I think my friend Megan Snedden and I, she joined me for my birthday.
She's been on the show.
She was
friend of the show.
Been on the show. I love her. Shout out to Megan. We did Budapest, and we literally went to Budapest to do spas. We literally did a different spa every day. And then we went to this German beer festival in this storybook town called Würzburg. And it was so fun, because I think we were the only two Americans there. It was a local beer festival. It was all Germans, mostly just locals from the town and the regional area. And we were like living this true, authentic German beer festival experience. And it was so fun. There was one on my birthday. We were cheers in the beers, drinking the beers. And then I was like, Megan, let's get in the mix. And then we literally walked around the tables, and she spotted this table of literally like 20 men, German men that looked like they were all Disney princes. And then we were, And I was like, Megan, for my birthday, I want to get you dancing on that table with all these men. And we made it happen. And so then we made friends with these, like, these German locals who they were actually a bunch of cops. They were a bunch of police officers in their lederhosens. And it was like we were literally in a sea of all these German princes and princesses from Germany. And everyone was so friendly and so nice. And because we were the Americans and the outliers, they were all just so friendly and interested to get to know us and talk to us because they were just there with their local friends and family. Yet here are these two random Americans dancing and singing on the top of these tables when it's like we shouldn't have been there, if that makes sense.
No, was looking back on this whole 6 months, was there anything you would have done differently, whether it's routing or planning ahead or maybe not planning, but like seat of the pants stuff? I mean, going off track.
So one thing I did do for the first time is I actually did a lot of my international flights using credit card points. And I work with a guy, his name is Chris Gursky. He's the credit genius. I started working with him a year to a year and a half before this trip because he's a buddy of mine and he travels the world on credit card points. And he actually consults people how to strategically use credit cards to earn points. So I saw him doing a trip around the world and I said to him, I want to do a trip around the world for my 40th birthday. And I would love to like start building up points. So then I hired him and he basically gave me a credit card strategy. And by the time I started with him, I had about like 272,000 credit card points and miles. And after about a year, year and a half, I had almost around a million. And so with his help, I was flying on this trip in first and business class internationally. Like I think I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, 7 flights, but I would have spent on flights. I would have spent, I have the totals actually right here. I would have spent, my total flight values were over like $20,000. And I think I spent under $3,000.
Wow.
You know, okay. So I was, those are rough numbers. I would have to like dig in a little deeper, but what I am so happy was I flew internationally to a lot of these destinations on credit card points. And I never had played the credit card point game before. It was too overwhelming for me. So I am so happy that I worked with Chris to do that because I was flying in like Emirates first class.
Ooh, those are
American
nice.
American first class. You're ruined now. I'm ruined. It was being in a hotel in the sky. And it was just having the incredible amenities and services and the lie down beds. And half the time I didn't want to get off the flight because I was having such a blast eating the food, drinking the drinks, watching the movies, taking naps. And I loved the flight. So a lot of my flights were through credit card points in business and first class for really cheap. And I'm so glad that I was able to do that. In terms of other things on the trip, I'm looking back. I did a budget safari in Kenya that actually like brought me back to the roots of like when I first started traveling. I was when I was 21 years old, I did budget backpacking in Australia. So it was really kind of nostalgic for me to at 39, almost turning 40, to do this budget safari experience. I think it was a 7-day safari for less than $1,000, everything included. And I was in a van and a bus with people from all over the world. And it really did nostalgically bring me back to like the roots of my travel.
In a good way.
But here's what I would have to say.
You're right. Okay. And now after you've been ruined by first class.
I know I've been ruined by first class. But what I would say from that experience, and that I read hundreds of reviews to pick like which safari company I was going to go with and all that. Not one review. And this is one thing I'm helping anyone that does a Kenya safari. The roads were so bumpy the entire time that I left that. We were in the car 14 hours a day, like, or more. So we were crisscrossing the parks in a way that was like too, if I look back, I would have not done this specific itinerary. It was too much.
Yeah.
It was too much because we were sitting in the car most of the time and the roads are so bumpy throughout the entire country that I was in so much physical pain after that trip after being bouncing up and down every day for 14 hours a day. So I would recommend 100% doing a safari, but just be mindful of the distance between the different parks and not biting off something that is too much to chew in such a short amount of time. And also kind of checking in, how long are you actually in the car each day versus actually seeing the wildlife? I would say if I had to look back, that was one experience where I was like, I didn't pick the right experience. I'm fine. I was happy to do a budget experience, but I did one that went to too many parks in too short of an amount of time. And it was just way too much car time.
Yeah. Yeah. That can be rough. I mean, you hit every continent? Did you get them all on that trip?
Well, I had never been to the Middle East yet, and I did do just a 6-hour layover in Dubai, which was
I still haven't been. I hadn't been. Well, my trip to Nepal was going to go through Qatar, and I was going to spend a night in Doha, but that does not happen now. But
I would recommend to someone, if you have like a 6 to 8 hour layover in Dubai, get out, go look at Burj Khalifa and go look at the Dubai Mall. They're two easy places. You can, the tallest building in the world and the biggest mall in the world. And it's easy to get to using subway and you can do it within 6 to 8 hours. So I would highly recommend doing that. I was there in June, I believe, or July, and it was extremely hot. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Cause you're in the middle of a desert. For the first time, which I, my new favorite country, probably I'm obsessed with. You want to take a guess?
Is it in Europe or in the Middle East or somewhere else?
It's in Asia.
Okay.
Asia.
I will say, did you get to Bhutan? Is that,
no,
was that the one
on the list?
Vietnam.
I did not get there. No.
Thailand.
No, Japan.
Oh, okay. Japan. Well, yeah, that's
Japan. I had never been to Japan.
You had never been?
I had never. No.
Wow.
So I'd never been to Japan. This was my first time going to Japan. I spent two and a half weeks where I did Tokyo. I did Kyoto. I did a homestay with a family an hour outside of Kyoto, which was probably my favorite experience in Japan. I did an Airbnb homestay.
Wow.
Where I was staying with a father and his daughter. She was probably in her 40s or so. The father was like a grandpa. And they live on a farm.
Wow.
In like the countryside outside of Kyoto. So if you imagine like you're in LA, they were like down where the South Bay is in terms of like distance wise. So one, the hour car ride to get to this farm in this beautiful countryside called Kihoku was beautiful in itself. And spending 3 days and 2 nights in their home where we cooked meals together from the plants that they grew on their farm. And then like the father didn't speak any English. So he and I communicated through clanking beers and smiling and laughing. And his daughter spoke English. So she kind of translated. We played games together. And then in one of my afternoon activities, I did an e-bike tour through the countryside to the different, you know, local restaurants and wood making places and then shrines. It was the non-touristy side of Kyoto that I did like Kyoto. But it was very touristy.
Very, yeah.
And you're going to get that kind of travel touristy experience. So for me, getting to do this like homestay with a family in a part of Japan that tourists don't go to, I think you're getting the drift of like, I love traveling in those type of experience where you're getting that authentic, real experience of living in a different culture with different people and experiencing what life is like for them in that area or region. Was incredible. I loved Japan. And I also went to this town in between Tokyo and Kyoto called Hakone.
Oh, we went there last year.
Oh my gosh, what'd you think?
Yeah, with the hot springs and everything. It's great. We had a lot of rain when we were there, but it was beautiful. It's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, the onsens.
Yeah.
The natural hot spring spas that are built around these gorgeous these onsens are just incredible. I literally could go there for a week and just go spa to spa to spa to spa. And in Tokyo, I don't love big cities. I don't love cities. I loved Tokyo. Tokyo was so incredibly fascinating. It felt like living in the future and the present. Everything from the taxi drivers showing up in suits in the cleanest cars with linens to all the technology that you're just like, what? How does this exist? To then knowing that there's over, 30 million people living in this city, yet there's not one piece of trash on the street. And it was... I was walking around meandering the streets at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I didn't feel unsafe anywhere in Tokyo.
No.
You wouldn't catch me wandering the streets of random cities
in America,
many places in the world in the middle of the night and just getting lost. So Japan, the culture, the people, the food, the nature, I was obsessed with Japan.
You'll be back. You'll be back for sure.
I know. I need to go back.
Yeah. Would you? Yes. We've had a number of travel hackers on here. Talking about miles and points and everything. At what point, I always tell people, if you're going to do this credit card thing, A, you have to have good credit. B, you have to pay off everything immediately in full. Yes. And C, you have to be organized. You got to know when to cancel the cards, when to, you know, and sometimes you're juggling 20, 30 cards at a time. At most, how many active cards did you have at one point?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I learned a lot. I didn't know a lot about the credit card game, and I do give my buddy who I hired credit for teaching me. I only have like 5 or 6 credit cards. So I didn't play the game. He doesn't set people up to play the game where you're opening up 30 cards. Mm-hmm. You know, you can share, like, I have a limit of how many cards I want to do. And I but strategically opened up the right ones at the right time to get the right bonuses. And then also one thing is, what I didn't realize, I actually have better credit now than I had before playing the credit card game. Because if you have multiple credit cards and you pay off your credit cards on time, then you're actually building good credit. You do get a little ding in your credit score when you open up new credit cards.
Yeah, the inquiry. Yeah.
And then they get you for that. But then if you pay off your credit cards on time and you never have reoccurring balances and you actually pay them sometimes even early, you then actually build credit. So I'm now sitting with a better credit score than I had when I first started working with Chris. And I think I have right now 5 credit cards. And even the ones that, let's say, you shouldn't necessarily even cancel cards. So I have cards that I don't necessarily use anymore, but they have zero annual fees. So it's just having that open credit line, but I don't even necessarily use them anymore. But I'm actively using 3 credit cards currently, and I think I have a total of 5 or 6.
Okay.
But some people do play it that aggressive way that you described. I don't do that. I didn't do that.
I know. It takes time. I mean, you got to be on it, you know, because they can get away from you, you know, sometimes.
Yep.
And you got to keep it organized and everything else. So you're doing a lot more TV these days, it seems.
Yes.
Going on people.
I am.
How often are you on TV, and where can people see you?
Sure. I'm on TV a couple times a month, I would say, and it depends. I'm regularly on KTLA in Los Angeles. I've loved being a part of the KTLA kind of travel Tuesday team, where I go on once a month and do a highlight a destination and a travel destination on KTLA. And I love the team there. So that's been a couple years. That's almost been 5. I think that's been 5 years now I've been doing that, which I love it. And then beyond KTLA, I actually recently I've been on the Jennifer Hudson Show multiple times. So they brought me on for season 3 twice, and hopefully, fingers crossed, they are renewed for season 4, that when they do travel segments, I'm their travel guy, which is awesome. And I love working with Jennifer Hudson. She is incredible. And I think they have such a fun team and crew over there. So it's been really like an honor to be able to do that. And what was really cool about the second time I went on, the first time I had talked about solo travel and adventuring, and she was like, oh, you're inspiring me to take a solo trip. And then before we shot on air, you know, I sat down next to her and she said, I just want to let you know, I took to heart your advice last time, and I took my first ever solo trip and I had the best time. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love that. So I love working on the Jennifer Hudson Show, and fingers crossed, we'll be doing more in season 4 together. And, you know, just got to get the travel stuff going over there, which they're excited to do. they want to bring more travel into the show, which I love. And then I've, you know, hopped on some other shows. I've gone on a bunch of the, like, the Today shows in the country, the Chicago Today Show, the Texas Today Show, and some different Today Show versions. California Live, I just went on recently, and they loved having me and said, come back whenever you can. And so it just kind of depends. I'm hopping around on different TV networks, sharing travel tips and advice, and I love it. And that's, I moved to LA, oh my gosh, coming up on 18 years ago to do this kind of TV thing, and it's evolved and changed in such a different way, and we have to evolve and change with it. So I'm grateful that my passion and love is travel, and that the part that I get to do on camera now is travel on TV. And then, you know, one thing I'm excited to do coming up, I leave next week, which I think you'll love, is I'm doing some hosting for Carnival Cruise. I'm getting into the cruise game.
Okay, yeah. Well, this is what I want to ask you about, because I work on them a lot, and I've never done Carnival, yes. But the Carnival Corporation owns Princess. They own Holland America. Yes. They own, you know, Cunard, which I've just done for the first time. But they, as a guy who's done, and you and I have done a lot of travel and a lot of rough, yes, travel and hardcore travel, yes, and most cruising is easy. I mean, let's face it. It's kind of for people who just want everything done for them and don't want to think, yes, about it. And I get, I'm not that kind of traveler. It wouldn't, mm-hmm, be my main form of travel if I wasn't getting paid to do it. I wouldn't be a lot of them, I'm not a fan, but, mm-hmm, I understand the appeal. How does a hardcore traveler like yourself, and certainly, you know, a lot of them skew older.
Yeah.
How did you adjust? You know, I mean, I don't know. My family never cruised when I was a kid, so I didn't really know about them that much.
Sure.
So, I mean, as a guy who loves to, and also we plan our own activities, you know, that's what I do. I plan my own days, whereas cruise, they kind of do it for you. Was that hard for you? I mean, was that an adjustment?
Yeah. At the core of who I am, I'm like a backpacker, you know, like rough and dirty and getting nitty gritty into like local travel. But I love cruises.
You really? Do you?
I do. I love cruises. My first cruise was a family reunion cruise with my mom. She planned it for our Italian side of the family. I think we had over 30 people on it. So that was my first ever cruise experience. And since then, I think I've been on now nearly 9 or 10 cruises. And what I say to people who are cruise haters, or it's a first I ask, have you ever been on one?
Right.
Because I think a lot of people like are negative about cruises, yet they've never been on one. We can actually talk about Kinga Phillips thought she would never be a cruiser, and she is not. If anyone, you look into Kinga, she is not a cruise type person. She took her first ever cruise with her mom, me, and my dad, Princess Cruises, through the Caribbean. And by the end of that trip, she was like, I'm a cruiser. I like cruises. And then we did our second one with Princess going to the Mediterranean. But what I love about cruises, and what I say to people, is a cruise is a choose your own adventure. If you go with a positive attitude and good people, or the open mind to meet good people, everyone on a cruise is happy. Everyone on a cruise wants to be there. All these people are living their best vacation lives. And cruises, if you're on the right cruise, most cruises I've been on, they treat everyone like royalty. They treat everyone first class. So you're kind of getting that experience of whether you're on a Carnival cruise, or whether you're on a Princess cruise, or whether you're on an MSC cruise, or whatever it is. At the end of the day, I think if you have a good attitude and you are excited to travel, you'll have fun on a cruise. I love cruises, and I'm excited for the job that I have coming up with Carnival Cruise. Is I'm actually hosting their show called Carnival Adventures, where I'm going to get to go to 3 different ports in Alaska and do all the outdoor excursion and adventures to showcase on the cruise. So when you're on the Carnival cruise and you want to, you know, look at their TV shows and like, what could I do at this port? That's the next project I have with Carnival, which I'm excited to go explore Alaska and to get to do all the excursions that you can do while you're on the cruise.
Well, if you need any advice, I've done them all pretty much. I'll be up there for the next 3 weeks. So when this airs,
what's your favorite?
Well, it's different. I mean, the main ports you'll go to, and we could do a whole separate. I've done Alaska cruise things, but I've been going up there for 9 years. So it's the main ones are Juneau, Skagway, and Ketchikan will be the most common stops.
Going.
Yeah, And I've done, because I could go as a like a escort on a lot of the excursions if they have room. So they'll let me go for free or something. So
yeah.
I've taken like the dune buggies through the old logging trails in Ketchikan. Yeah. I've done zip lines. But mostly what I like to do up there is hike. You know, I mean,
cool.
And if anybody wants to do whale watches, Juneau's the place. You're going to be guaranteed to see them. It's all about nature up there. And that's what I stress. So I mean, zip lines are fine, but you can do those almost anywhere. I would rather go see nature, because that's, and the beauty of it is you could just walk off the ship and within 10 minutes you're in the woods and it's silent.
Amazing.
You can't do that in the Caribbean or, you know, you got music blaring at you and people trying to sell you margaritas every 5 feet. Yeah. You know, you can't do that. So you go there for
one thing.
And also I would tell people, you're only seeing a little sliver of Alaska. You're only seeing like the southeast.
Sure.
And Alaska is enormous. It's like, you know, the size of a third of the continental U.S. So I would always tell people, if you can do it, try to add a land portion, like either before or after your cruise, like amazing. Up into like Denali and the national parks up there, or at least because it's really amazing. I mean, it's. So hopefully I'll see you up there. I'll be on Princess.
Yeah. Oh my God. Let's try and we'll connect. One thing I do have to say about cruises is that if someone is going on a cruise and you don't love like the cruise excursions, one thing that I've done that I really love doing, Kinga and I did this multiple times, but where it really stood out to me was we were in Puerto Rico, and we didn't want to do the cruise excursions. So we booked an Airbnb experience where we had a local guide take us on his favorite jungle trek and hike through the jungle. So it was Kinga, myself, my dad, and her mom, just the four of us. We had a local guide bring us to this gorgeous hike to waterfalls. There were no other tourists, no one else on the trails. And it was this like little local slice of Puerto Rico that we got to take this adventure with our parents on, that, you know, it wasn't a 30, 40 person excursion off the cruise ship.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could always explore destinations on your own. Or one thing I do recommend now is like check to see what the Airbnb experiences are in the destinations and ports, because those are going to offer like smaller group experiences that might be more up your alley if you don't want to do the typical cruise excursion.
I do tell people that if you can make your own plans, I mean, you can book things yourself before you get there.
Yeah.
The only downside I will tell them is if you do book it through the cruise excursion, if you're running late, they'll wait for you. If you book it on your own and you're late, bye-bye. They're gone. So they're liable if you book it through them. That's the only thing. Yeah. So don't cut it too close.
Yeah, and a lot of the cruises are offering such a wide variety of experiences now that there should be something for everybody, you know, and or just go wander and get lost on your own, you know?
Well, especially after this massive trip you took, your bucket list was quite shortened after doing all that, but there's got to be something left. What's left?
Oh my gosh. I think towards the top is Antarctica. I think that's have you been?
Yeah, on a cruise. And again, that's where cruises kind of stand out, and that being getting there otherwise is really difficult and super expensive. Yeah. And I was really lucky. I did a seaborne ship performing on that, and it's really high end. It's really nice. Yeah. And but if you're under 450 passengers, you can get off the ship and do the Zodiacs and walk on land. So I always tell people that if you do on one of the bigger ships, you have to stay on the ship. You can't get off
the whole time.
The whole time. So most people don't know that. So just know, if you can afford the smaller ship and go on land and walk amongst the penguins and that kind of stuff, and do that. So that's where I'm grateful. I don't know if I'd, without the cruises and working on them, I don't know if I would have gotten there otherwise. It'd still be on my list. So I recommend it highly.
Yeah, I think it's at the top of my list. Antarctica, it's a continent I haven't been to, and also just like a terrain and place. And then I do need to do, I feel like, more of the Middle East.
Yeah.
And start tapping into the Middle East when it's doable.
Again, we never know. We never know when it's doable and when things aren't.
Yeah.
Also, tell people if you want to give your friend does your friend who helped you with the miles, has he got a business?
Oh my God, yes.
You want to give him a plug, a shout out?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So he's The Credit Genius.
Okay.
So you can find him on social media, The Credit Genius, and then it has also his website, The Credit Genius. He does have a wait list for his services. He works with companies as well as individuals. And for individuals, he does have a wait list. So get yourself on that wait list. To kind of, you know, as he expands his business and accessing him, he's incredible. I have a lot of friends that have worked with him, and they're flying on points and raking up those points in a way that's smart. And it isn't necessarily opening up 30 credit cards and making you feel like you're gonna butcher your credit score and all of that. He does a great job. And he was actually on my ayahuasca trip.
Oh,
he was one of the people I was talking about on my ayahuasca
trip. He flew for free.
He definitely flew for free.
So for you, we have your bucketlistguide.com, right?
Yes. And then my handle is Your Bucket List Guide. And that's my handle. That's my website, Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I need to give a little more love to TikTok.
is Instagram,
or do we?
Is Instagram for social media? Is that your main focus? Or
yeah, okay. Instagram is my main source and platform. And then yeah, my website, yourbucketlistguide.com. Those are the two spots.
That's awesome. So your next trip, say hi to Kinga for me wherever you go.
We might go camping for my birthday together.
Oh, she's great. She's the best.
Yes.
And
I'm excited for her. Plug in, you know, check her out on Shark Week. She's on 3 Shark Week shows this year. I'm super proud of her.
Yeah, she's killing it. And you, we did talk about you, of course, when she was on the show. And
aww,
we are taking up a collection to buy you some more shirts because you keep losing them.
Oh, my God.
Because you do seem to lose
like
them.
To say,
you do seem to lose
I would
them
like
on
to
your
say
photos.
No. I'm shirtless when the weather is hot. I'm in destinations where you would be shirtless. So I'm going to keep my shirt off when it's hot weather.
Listen, if I had abs like yours, I would be shirtless most of the day.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, and 40 with abs. That's amazing. Good for you.
Yet still single, Mike.
Oh, come on. You still got those at 50, then you get an award. You get an award of some sort.
I got 10 years to find love.
Well, travel safe. Thank you for...
Thank you.
But also, it's like in these last 9 years, you've seen and done a lot. Has your perspective on travel changed, on people, on the world? How have you changed and how has it affected you?
Good question. Oh my gosh. No one's really actually asked me that in the context of, you know, in like the last 10 years or whatever. I think for me, every time I travel, I feel the most at home with who I am. And I think that travel, that's why I love it so much. It continually, even from 9 years ago till this trip I just did around the world, travel makes me feel alive in a way that I just love. It puts me in the moment. It makes me realize that there's so much more out there than just the world we live in our home lives, that there's just such a greater world and purpose to explore and to keep expanding. And I do find that continually over my 20-year career traveling, that as much as we are different or think we are different, at the core as humans, we are all more alike than we are different. And that continually is a reminder. And I'm thinking of even, you know, when I was doing the homestay in Japan to then being with a local tribe in Kenya, very different extremes of, you know, Japan and Kenya, for example. I went to those like almost back to back, but I was like, at the core, all of us are still the same and more similar than we are different. And I think that humanity is universal and travel is such a beautiful tool to truly understand and recognize that. So I keep a positive and perspective on the world in terms of all of that. And I am just so grateful for travel, for bringing that into my life. And I will keep traveling until I die. And you know, on that Aranui cruise that Kinga and I did towards the beginning of my trip around the world, it was to the remote islands of Tahiti. It was an older crowd. You know, it was like an older skewing crowd. We met and made friends with two solo travelers. One was named Ray. He was 90 years old. And one was named Maya, and she was in her 80s. And it was, I thought, going into my trip, that this is my last hurrah as a solo traveler. And what they opened up my eyes to was, no, there's no last hurrah. There never needs to be a last hurrah. This gift of travel is accessible to us at all ages and stages of life if you make it a priority and you want it to be a priority in your life. And for me, I will always make it a priority. And I'm so grateful that I get to connect with people like you, and Kinga, and Megan, and Kelly. And I could just go on and on and on, that the people that are drawn towards travel and having it as a priority in their life are just beautiful people and souls that I'm so grateful I get to spend time with and share my life experience with.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for doing this again. Hopefully it won't be another 9 years. But
Oh my gosh. And catch me when I'm 50. Oh my God.
God willing. Gosh. You know, we should be so lucky to still be doing it at 50.
I love it.
But thank you for doing it. Stay in the line. I'll talk to you afterwards. But I appreciate you stopping by again. It's great to see you.
You too.
Justin Walter, everybody.
For spontaneous travelers, winging it is the perfect listen. James Hammond shares stories and tips from 75-plus countries. Find it at voyescape.com.